Rishus Rav Kohn and Chashuva Talmidim. Many of you know, probably all of you know, that next Sunday, a week from this Sunday, the yeshiva is going to be celebrating a Chag HaSmicha. And that's really what I'm doing here tonight, because Rabbi Penner thought it would be appropriate that if we would talk about the value of devoting one's life to Klei Kodesh. And many of you are at an age where you're still figuring out what exactly it is that you want to do with your life. Others may be second-guessing the plan that you had all along. They used to say that law school is the babysitter for graduates who lack direction. There's a lot of truth to that line. It's like a default graduate school. But maybe it's time to start a conversation with ourselves, with our families, with our parents, and figure out what it is that we really want out of life. And I feel like I can offer a little bit of a different perspective than most, if not all, of the Rashi Yeshiva in our yeshiva. You see, when you look at your Rashi Yeshiva, you see people of towering genius, you see people who are intellectually superior to most others, and that's accurate, But not so with me. I didn't learn in the Kollel Elyon. I'm not a genius. Some of my chavrusas are pretty brilliant, my current one included. I came to this field pretty late in the game. During my first year teaching in DRS, the plan was still to go to law school. And I feel in that level, perhaps I can relate a little bit more to what the rank and file of our yeshiva go through when we think about these decisions. Some of the things that we're going to speak about, I'm not only speaking to future mechanchim and future rabbanim, some of the things that we speak about should be applied regardless of your career choice, but may require a little more creativity and effort to do so. I think first and foremost, it's very important for a person to not get locked in to a certain narrative that's been written for us. I remember as a child, I was always told my older brother was going to be a doctor and I was going to be a lawyer. He was smart, he was going to be a doctor. I was less so, I was going to be a lawyer. That was the plan. No one was allowed to be an accountant. That was my father's job, and my mother did not want us doing that. But that was the plan. And, you know, I watched every legal television show that there was, that which was usher to watch, and that which was even more usher to watch. That was always the plan, and carried me through 2 years in yeshiva and Karen Biavna, and then back to YU and Rav Shechter. But the plan was, no matter what I was doing, no matter how much I was loving my learning, that was the plan. That was the narrative. And many of us are stuck in a narrative that we didn't really write for ourselves. And we have to rethink, is this what I want? And more important than, is this what the Ribono Shel Olam wants from me? Did the Ribono Shel Olam put me on this world? He put me on this world to accomplish a mission. What exactly is that mission? We shouldn't ask that question necessarily in that big picture kind of way every single day. That would make us very unstable people. You know, Rav Lichtenstein Zichron Levracha was once asked about, on an institutional level, about making major changes. Particularly, he was asked about a co-ed school that started in a tiny community that couldn't support two schools. When should they reconsider and say, can we support now a boys' school and a girls' school? And he said, you can't ask that question every day, but you have to have the goal in mind. You have to revisit once in a while. A healthy person has to ask the question once in a while, and not to necessarily accept the narrative that we've been given. I just had an unbelievable experience this past Shabbos. I attended a Shalom Zachar, and I thought it was going to be a regular Shalom Zachar like any other, not particularly exciting. And the Aviya Ben told me something remarkable. Remarkable about himself, but he didn't intend it in that way. He told me that I had said a story in a drasha that I had given, I don't know when, and I know that I said this story because I say it all the time, because it made such an impact on me. And the story that I told was that I was talking to my Zaidi. I'm Zocha Baruch Hashem B'li Ayin Hara to have a Zaidi who's still alive and with it, and I get to talk to on a weekly basis, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. And my Zaidi is a Holocaust survivor. And I was with my brother, we were in Eretz Yisrael at the same time, and we went to visit Zaidi. And Zaidi said to us as we were about to leave, you know, if the Ribbono Shel Olam were to come to me again, to start it all over again with a contract, and he were to say, you have to go through Auschwitz, you have to go through Buchenwald, but the reward that you're going to get is you're going to have Dorei Doros of Shomrei Torah and Mitzvos, that you're going to see children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Bli Ayin Hara, great-great-grandchildren, I would sign for it again. And I was so stunned by that statement. I mentioned this in a drasha because I was moved by it. I thought it might move others. And this fellow says to me at the Shalom Zachar this past week, he says, you know, this is my second marriage. The fellow says, it's my wife's second marriage. We each have children from our previous marriages. And we're good. Every 2 weeks, kids are by the exes and we get like a nice honeymoon. Every 2 weeks, things are quiet. Mekayim Pru Revu already. Everything's good. We're good. We're happy. We're in a good place. We weren't thinking about having any more children. But then you told that story about your Zaidi. And I started to think to myself, what am I here for? What's my contribution to Klal Yisrael? Is there a greater contribution to Klal Yisrael than to bring another neshama into the world and to take care of that neshama? And he said, this baby, this Shalom Zachar that we're at, it was Mamash this past Friday night, this Shalom Zachar that we're at, this baby, this is your Zaidi's baby. And I was just so taken by the fact that a person was willing, you know, rabbis talk a lot and people don't listen. But every once in a while, someone listens. And every once in a while, someone takes it to a place where you never would have imagined. And someone is willing to reassess the most important things that happen in their lives. They're willing to reassess their entire life's plans because of a suggestion that somebody made that maybe they should rethink. And now we have my Zaidi's baby in North Woodmere. I think we owe it to ourselves every once in a while to make that not only the little cheshbon ha-nefesh on the details in our lives, the big cheshbon ha-nefesh. The Ribbono Shel Olam put me here. What am I here for? What am I meant to do? What am I meant to accomplish? We say in Shemone Esrei each and every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagein. But then we conclude the bracha that he's Magein Avraham. And the Gra explains, what's the difference between an Ozer, Moshia, and a Magein? And why is the conclusion of the bracha only Magein Avraham? Why not Ozer Avraham? Why not Moshia Avraham? And the Gra explains so beautifully that you know what an Ozer is? Ozer means a helper. It means that if you're trying to accomplish something and you're putting in all of your ishtadlus, and the Ribbono Shel Olam makes it happen. You're working toward a goal, and the Ribbono Shel Olam pushes you to accomplish that goal. I want to become really wealthy, so I work very hard, and the Ribbono Shel Olam makes that work successful. I want to become really good at basketball, so I practice all day, and the Ribbono Shel Olam makes me better, and he gives me the skills to do it. That's an Ozer. Moshiach is totally different, says the Gra. Moshiach is when I know me'ikara that I have zero control whatsoever, that it's not up to me. It's completely in his hands. I took a medical test and I'm waiting for the results. I don't control it. Moshiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Moshiach. And Magein, says the Gra, is when I'm working toward a goal and I think that the only way to achieve this goal is to do this, and the Ribbono Shel Olam tells me you're going to achieve that goal by doing the opposite. He protects me from myself because I think that I need to go in this direction to accomplish my goal, and that's what makes sense to me, that's what's logical to me. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, what you need to do to accomplish the goal is do the opposite. That's a Magein. Avraham Avinu experienced the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Magein. Because Avraham Avinu wanted to build a family and a nation that was going to be like the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea. He was going to build this great nation, and he had one child with whom to build it. Ki bi Yitzchak yikarei lecha zera. The worst thing to do if you're trying to accomplish that goal is to kill Yitzchak. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, bring Yitzchak up to the Akedah. But that's counterintuitive, it's counterproductive, it doesn't make sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what you do. And Avraham Avinu did it. And you know what? Had we not had the Zechus HaAkedah, what would we approach the Ribbono Shel Olam with every Rosh Hashanah when we're begging for another year to survive and to thrive? It's Akedas Yitzchak that we bring. It's the Zechus HaAkedah that we bring. That which was logically going to bring about the end of the dream of Klal Yisrael, brought about the survival of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we have to think in those terms. Sometimes we have to think about, does the Ribbono Shel Olam need to save us from ourselves? The goals that we're working toward, are they even the right goals? Are they going to bring us where we need to be as human beings, as Avdei Hashem? And that involves a certain amount of Mesiris Nefesh to ask that question honestly. Avram Avinu was Moser Nefesh. And Mesiris Nefesh for us, thankfully, does not involve usually the literal Mesiris Nefesh. It involves doing things unpleasant, thinking about things, maybe disappointing someone in our lives, maybe going off the script for a little bit. But there are a few things that I think we all must consider when thinking about whether Klei Kodesh is for us. And it's not for everybody. We'll get to that, hopefully. But a few things to consider. And again, these are just from my personal experiences. I remember my first Rebbe's meeting in DRS. And I'm sitting around the table with my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, with Rabbi Shlomo Klapholz, and a few of the other Rebbeim. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? How did I get this lucky? These are now my friends. This is who I hang out with all day. When I have an issue, these are the people that I can talk to. Are you going to be navigating halachic minefields all day, or are you going to be collaborating with people who are working for Klal Yisrael? It's an underrated element of devoting your life to Klei Kodesh. Just who you're with, who you get to connect to. Another perhaps underrated element is people talk about how hard rabbis work. But you know what? However hard we work, I was always home for dinner. Not tonight. But I was always home for dinner. 6 to 8, there was nothing going on. You go to a wedding later, 6 to 8, there was nothing going on. The lawyers didn't have it so good. I saw families almost fall apart. Children didn't recognize their fathers. If they saw their father during the week, they would say, Good Shabbos, Abba. Because they had no idea that there could be such a thing as an Abba when it's not Shabbos. Another advantage that perhaps we don't think about, I know the advantages you do think about, but that we don't think about, is how connected you could remain to your Rebbeim. You have so many excuses to connect, so many touch points. You have questions in Chinuch, Shailas that come up, Eitza that comes up. You're in the same field. You know, people view me as being close to my Rebbe. I was always terrified to talk to him. I'm terrified of all big Talmidei Chacham. At an hour-long meeting with Rav Rosenzweig the other day, I still haven't recovered. I'm so intimidated. But you have that opportunity to be able to connect, to be able to talk, to be able to discuss. And it's an ongoing, lifelong thing. But much more importantly than all of that, and this is the most important thing, there is a need in Klal Yisrael. I'll admit that there wasn't always, and I can't always predict the market conditions. There's a need for people in Klal Yisrael. We get phone calls all the time. Do you have any Rebbeim to send to us? I'm not talking about like in these tiny places where there's no frumkeit. I'm talking about major Jewish communities. Some even in the tri-state area. Desperate for good rebbeim, for good talent. The Jewish people are looking for qualified people, for qualified rebbeim. And lest you think that you aren't good enough, that is a very, very dangerous thought. I could tell you, I almost didn't go into teaching because I had no discernible talent. I had Rebbeim who were either brilliant or really great at sports or music and knew how to connect to kids in that way, or had some unusual charisma. But as it turns out, Just to use the example of one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Kamenetsky, what made him great and what makes him great turns out not to be his musical talent, his ball playing, his dynamism. Turns out it's his enormous heart and his love of Talmidim. And a person has to ask themselves, do I have that in my heart? Can I love Talmidim? Can I love Klal Yisrael? Can I care for Talmidim? And before we ask ourselves the question, am I good enough for Chinuch? Am I good enough for Rabbanus? I would beg of you, ask the question, am I good enough to do other fields? Not like, am I good enough to be a good lawyer or a good hedge fund manager? No, am I good enough to remain a masmid, to grow as an Eved Hashem, to be medaktik bekala kibachamura, even as I am a successful lawyer or a hedge fund manager? I would argue that is much, much harder. Will I have the willpower and the discipline to go out and learn night seder, or wake up early to learn morning seder, when I'm exhausted from a long day's work? I stand in awe of so many people in my shul and so many of my friends who dedicate serious time to learn and to grow in Yiddishkeit. It's not easy, and I know that I wouldn't be as successful at that. Am I good enough? I don't know if I'm good enough for chinuch, but I'm certainly not good enough for not going into chinuch. When working in chinuch or rabbanus or kiruv, the natural inclination is to grow. You have to practice what you preach. You know what the best eitzah for shalom bayis is? Start teaching shalom bayis classes. The best eitzah for your own shalom bayis. Because you start thinking about these issues, you start formulating these issues, and you start thinking about, well, wait a second, do I do these things? This is besides the obvious reasons. The love of Torah, the ability to teach Torah, the coming to work every day with svarim, being osik in kedusha all day long. Is it for everybody? It's certainly not for everybody. After all, what would Klal Yisrael look like? We wouldn't function if it was for everybody. But realize that these decisions that you make now are decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life. And so many times we find that people shy away from making a decision that's right for them because they know it's going to involve a hard conversation. My parents wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer, and I don't know how I'm going to explain it. Or worse yet, I'm already married, and it was al smach. I was there. It was al smach that I'm going to be a lawyer. How do you explain that to the in-laws? But realize that it's a lifetime decision. And that one difficult conversation doesn't mean you should be doing something that you're not meant to do. I remember that conversation I had with Rosh Hashanah. You have to talk to your Rebbeim, you have to talk to your parents, you have to talk to people. I'm just asking to have the conversation, to open up your minds that you may have closed in the fifth grade when you made a decision that was perhaps immature and not yet with all the information about what Torah means to you and what Klal Yisrael means to you. Remember the conversation I had with Moreno Rav Shechter Shlita. He said, Rebbe, I'm not sure what to do. Should I be a lawyer? Should I go into Rabbanus? He said, Rabbanus? You're way too soft to go into Rabbanus. So I said, oh, should I go into law? He said, I think you're way too soft to go into law. So I came to him with two options. I left with zero. It may not be for everybody, but everybody should have Talmidim. Everybody should be teachers of Torah, whatever you do. The Rambam famously begins Hilchos Talmud Torah after mentioning who's exempt from Talmud Torah with the obligation to teach Torah. I often liken not having a Talmud or not having a Rebbe, not having those relationships, it's like a child who grew up as an only child and doesn't know what it means to have a sibling. He doesn't necessarily know what he's missing. Or Nebuchadnezzar that grows up without a parent doesn't necessarily fully understand what he's missing. But what an enriching relationship that is that's missing from their lives. It's our obligation to have Talmidim. Our Rabbanim should be our Talmidim. Our children should be our Talmidim. And if we could expand our ability to teach Torah beyond that, even better. The Babcha Rebbe Zichrono Livracha used to say, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. If you know Beis, teach Beis. And again, maybe Chinuch is not for everybody, maybe Rabbanus is not for everybody, but one thing is very important. Learning Torah is for everybody. Seriously learning Torah. And there's no reason it has to stop as soon as you graduate. There is no better place to learn Torah full time, three siddurim a day, than in this Beis Medrash. It's an unbelievably powerful experience. The amount of Talmidei Chachamim and Bnei Aliyah that are around. What causes us the stress is that we feel that we're being pulled in different directions. When you get to learn full time here, it's an entirely different experience. So just because you're going to law school, or you're going to be a computer programmer, or you're going to be doing something else to make a living, doesn't mean that you shouldn't have that experience. Yes, another difficult conversation. I need a year, I need 2 years to strengthen myself in Limud HaTorah. We so often look at other segments of Klal Yisrael and point out what's wrong here, what's wrong there. Let's look at what's right. In Lakewood, it's understood that you're going to sit and learn for a while. And then you'll sell things on Amazon or whatever. But you'll figure it out. But you're going to sit and learn for a while. That's something to aspire to. That's something to admire. And that's something to do. Have we really gotten all that we can? Like, there's a 3-year limit on what you can gain from Rav Schechter and Rav Rosenzweig and Rav Shulman and Rav Tversky, v'chule, v'chule. A 3-year limit? But whatever you do, whatever you choose to do in life, and again, my goal over here is not to tell you what to do, it's to open a conversation, to ask you to open your minds. Whatever you do, don't ever say that your goal in life is to maintain what you got in that year and a half or 2 years in Eretz Yisrael. It's a pet peeve of mine. You ask Talmidim, what do you plan to gain in the next 80 years of your life? I want to hold on to what I got when I was 18. Is there a more tragic answer than that? Our goal in life is to always grow, to never stop growing. At the beginning of the parsha, the Malachim inquire as to Sarah's whereabouts. Aye, Sarah Yishtucha. Avram responds, Hinei Ba'ohel. But that's not accurate, is it? Because the Torah tells us she wasn't Ba'ohel. V'Sarah Shoma'as Pesach Ha'ohel. She wasn't in the Ohel, she's by the Pesach Ha'ohel. Says the Noam Elimelech, the key to a person constantly growing is to always feel that they haven't yet completed their life's mission. The moment a person feels that they've accomplished all that there is to accomplish, that they've reached a religious comfort zone, is the moment that their spiritual downfall begins. A person should never believe that they're in the comfort of the Ohel. They should always feel as though they are at the Pesach Ohel. They still need to take another step. When Avraham Avinu was asked about Sarah, he truthfully said she was Ba'ohel, extremely spiritually accomplished. From Sarah's perspective, she was at the Pesach Ohel. The Mir Yeshiva just observed the 10th yard site of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The Mir Rosh Yeshiva. You all know his story. When I was learning in Keren B'Yavna, I would often go to his Friday morning Parsha Shir, if I happened to be in Yerushalayim. For those of us who ever had the zechus of attending his shmuzin, we saw firsthand how a human being can become a malach. His very existence was the malach min ha-teva. You'd watch him walk and talk, and you didn't know how he did it. It's hard to imagine a yeshiva of 7,000 bachrim having a real Rosh HaYeshiva who actually impacts the lives of the boys. But the boys in the Mir Yeshiva fed off the energy of the Rosh HaYeshiva, and he fed off them. The Rosh Yeshiva was described as a neshama b'li guf. Never how many Jews are a guf b'li neshama. But there's only one that became a neshama b'li guf. And you know what the amazing thing is? If he wanted the easy path, without the difficult conversations, without asking himself, wait, where am I, what am I doing? He would have been nady for the rest of his life. And you know what happens when you're nady for the rest of your life, and you suffer from a disease like that? You're a nebuch wherever you go. And you know what happens when you become a Rosh Yeshiva and you fight and you build and you build and you build and you grow despite the most difficult hardships? You become a hero for the Jewish people. I'm not asking anybody to do anything other than to have a conversation, to think about, where am I going in life? Am I finished growing? And what's the context that I'm going to be able to continue to grow throughout the rest of my life as an Eved Hashem and as someone who's going to fulfill my mission on this earth?